Hey, wait, John, I need your help.
You need help?
Yeah, I want to move the table. I always like to move the table because I never know when I might walk around and do stuff. Just back over there. Alright, that's good.
Too much motion.
Well, I just don't know what I'm going to do, you know?
Backflips?
Maybe. Good morning. I'm Joe Alvarez. We have a few visitors here. I'm guessing that they found out that I was preaching today. So they were like, I gotta go. Joe's gonna be preaching. No. We do things a little different here at Pecan Grove. We have a group of preachers that we actually coordinate, and John does it. I used to do it. It used to be my job. We would call different people around the area. We have a guy from Kilgore College that comes out and preaches. John will preach. We have another John that will preach. So out of the congregation, we have a few people that preach. And it's just a great, we don't have one preacher. So anyway, just so y'all know, you visitors, we don't have one, we have multiple. We have a lot of gifted people in our congregation and a few people that come from different places. Put my clicker. All right. I don't do this very often. This is the third time. Actually, I've been doing it a lot more often. I don't know what's going on. Why do you keep asking me to come? I'm going to recap of what I talked about last time, which was two or three months ago. I can't remember exactly. So a recap. Pretty small. So I'll read it. All right. Last time, we talked about the church and the power of encouragement. So let's see if anybody remembers. Anybody remember the golf example? We talked about golf. There were some statistics about golfers, okay? When you encourage golfers, or they did some kind of study, and Jessica don't want me to spend too much time on the recap, but I want to go ahead and tell you because I think it's awesome. So they did the study where, you know, if a golfer is encouraged and they have constant encouragement, that they have a better golf game. So they increase their score by 1.78 shots per round of golf. So pretty amazing. How did that happen? That's even off the screen. Okay, so the next one, what does it say? No, the other one, the next one. Can you see it? Wow, okay, so the next one was the treadmill. I remember the treadmill. All right, so you're on the treadmill and you're running, and same thing happens. Encouragement, the power of encouragement. You encourage somebody to do better, they do better. Okay, so they're positive. All right, hey, that one's right. Okay, so, and then I gave you my life experiences. I played volleyball in college, and one of the players on my team, I had shanked the ball. I had done everything right. I mean, I'd used the proper form. I was perfect, and the ball went the wrong way, and I lost courage. You know, got me down, and he encouraged me, lifted me back up, and the next ball, they served right to me again, because that's what you do, and I served, and I passed it perfectly. Okay? All right. This is not working well. Okay, this is a good one. So, all right, everybody look up Hebrews 3:13, and someone can read it to me. So, obviously, the transition for whatever that is does not work right. So, we should have tested this.
You should have taken your daughter's PowerPoint class.
I used to teach that class. Another cool thing about our church. Church visitors, while someone's looking up the, you got it already? It's LTC, and you'll hear about that stuff. Go ahead.
But encourage each other every day while it is today. Help each other so none of you will become hardened because sin has tricked you.
Right. So one of the things that I was talking about was coming to church. One of the big reasons we come to church is because you can't encourage people when you're at home. Okay, there's nobody that you can help, and some people need encouragement. And sometimes you can be the person that gives it. And if you're not here, you can't do it. All right, so that's what we talked about last time. And it kind of goes into what I'm going to talk about today. That's why I wanted to do it. And that kind of just goes with that. We must not quit meeting together, as some are doing. We know we need to keep on encouraging each other. All right, so So I'm going to go ahead and continue to tell you another life story of mine. The Lady Jessica, and I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but you're about to learn what the Lady Jessica is. Well, that's the Lady Jessica right there. This is my wife. And so we've been married for almost, how many years now, Lou? 20? I'll put you on the spot. 20-something years? 23? Yeah, 23 this year. That's right. You're right. Okay. Okay, so after college and we both went to college together. We both went to Texas Tech. She got her degree in physical therapy. I got mine in engineering. And then after we got out of school, we moved to Melissa, and we had a little place that we were renting as we paid off our student loans. And then we had these big dreams, or at least I had these big dreams of building our dream house, and that is where the Lady Jessica comes into play here. The Lady Jessica was, we were neighbors. We lived in a duplex, and right next to us was an architect who was getting a degree at Texas Tech as well. And so we used him. He wrote up our plans, and we called it the Lady Jessica. So we paid off those loans, and we started building the Lady Jessica. So we found about 8 acres prime real estate nowadays. Man, I wish we still had it. But it was prime real estate just right off 205 in Rockwall. And we bought that land, and we started building the Lady Jessica on it. It is the Lady Jessica, right? Okay. And then we had our first child right there, Isabel. We had a baby. It was awesome. Life was great. All right. And then boom. All right. So the telecom dropped, you know, and that's kind of where my job was. I worked at Alcatel, and I did design and worked in the telecom industry, and that just exploded. It like went tanked downhill. Anybody remember Nortel? Any of those other ones? They did the same thing everybody was doing. So I lost my job. So telecom declined, lost my job, it was gone. So it makes you rethink things whenever something like that happens. We just got in debt. We had this huge mortgage. We built the Lady Jessica. It's like 3,200 square feet. Our mortgage payment was like close to $2,000 a month. It was outrageous. It was very expensive. And so when something like that happens, you start thinking about all these things. How am I going to pay my next mortgage payment? Of course, you know me, I always plan for bad things. So I do have money set aside to make payments for a little while. But all those things, you know, I'm mowing the lawn and all this stuff hits me, you know. I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay my mortgage? And then what else do I think about? Oh, do we need to move? Going to find a new job? Do we need to sell this house? How am I going to provide for my new baby? You know, all these. What's that? Oh, yeah. So, and we have another baby on the way. You know, so these are, you know, things that I start worrying and thinking about. And like, oh, my goodness. You know. Yeah, when are we going to run out of money? And this is kind of, will I find a new job? And this is whenever we ended up going to Bowles, and where I met these beautiful young ladies. There's a couple here, right here, that we used to take care of. So all these things I started thinking about, and I started getting really worried about what's going to happen to me. Some of the other things like today, and it's really parallels to like today too. Like I'm working, I don't know if any of y'all know everything that's going on in my life, but there's a lot of stuff happening. Right now I'm working overtime. I work OT all the time. Every week I've been doing it for about 3 or 4 or 5 months. OT, so trying to meet schedules at the end of every month. We're trying to meet a schedule. In fact, we're trying to meet one this month. So tonight I'll be going to work at 8 and probably work to midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. Volleyball. If you don't know, I have a volleyball club that I own here, and I direct, I coach, I do the marketing for it, and I also play. We have a tournament at 2 o'clock today, and then I'm going to go play. You know, so pretty busy, you know, and I could worry, and these are things, sources of other things that I worry about. And this is kind of a lesson to myself. And oh, by the way, we're building another house. We haven't named it. I don't know how, we haven't named it yet. I don't know if I want to name it. But I learned a big lesson from that first one. And I'm going to share that with you. And then, you know, preparing for this lesson today. You know, I did that late last night. So a lot of things start consuming our lives and making it when we start to worry about those things. And then, but I remember, does anybody remember last year about this time? There's our baby right there, right? Right? Oh, she's over there. She's trying to get another one already. So she had, a year ago, Hattie had pertussis, the whooping cough, you know, and for infants, it's, you know, they die. They could die. So I get a little relief because I think about, okay, would I rather have the situation I have now, there on the left, or would I rather be over there on the right? And it, you know, I get, well, definitely I would rather have the stuff on the left. Okay? All right. Things we worry about. So, if you haven't figured out what this lesson's about, then you're about to right now. There it is. It's spelled out. Worry. So, what is the number one thing that people worry about? Anybody want to guess?
Money.
Huh? Money. 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 You're right. So, everybody who said money, you're correct. All right. So, that brings us to the Sermon on the Mount. So if everybody would turn to Matthew 6, around 24, looks like. 6:24. Because this is a segue into, so Jesus has just been talking about money, okay? And he says, the very end of that, right before he starts talking about the next subject, which you'll probably guess, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay? All right, so what's this got to do with worry? We're about to find out. Oops. So, that was verse 24, verse 25. Paul, you want to read it for us, the first paragraph?
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?
Okay. Yes.
Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than
And John, who's got the next? Who can give me the next one? Can anyone read that? I thought it was tiny. That's why I wanted to kind of get y'all to turn to it.
28?
Yes, start at 28 and then you read.
Can I take the thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore God so clothed the grass of the field, which to day is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Shall he not much more clothe you, or ye of, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought of saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Okay. So I was supposed to show a video. I want to go back to that video real quick and show it to you because the reason I want to show it because there's so many things that go on, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this, about all the negative stuff that happens in the news and how it affects people. and how they get so down on this generation, so horrible and it's bad, and we get caught up in, oh, this is the worst generation ever. And I think that we can learn a little bit something. I think Jesus is very smart about this stuff and what he's trying to teach us. So let's go ahead and watch this film real quick. Am I on? Okay. All right, so didn't y'all like that?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay, so there's a lot of good stuff. We get bombarded with all the negative stuff. There's a lot of good stuff. Okay, so what's the sources of our, or what kind of message are we sending when we worry? And so that's one of the questions that I have, and one of the things that Jesus addressed. And I like, I got a different version here I wanted to read, because I think it's right. And get to it. All right, right here. The message we send. So, if you go to Ed, I won't read it all because we've kind of read it already, but this is a different version, so if you want to read it, feel free to read it. But at the very end, it says, It is God who clothes the wild grass, grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? What little faith you have. So this is kind of a faith issue, right? We don't trust what's happening, okay? I'm not saying everything's going to be peachy. I don't think he's trying to say that. Everything's going to be perfect, okay? I think he addresses that, and we'll talk about that at the end. But this is kind of a message that we're sending. Okay, we'll worry about stuff. So what does it do to you? So when you worry, your body responds. And I found this on one of the websites, one science website. It says, your body responds to your anxiety the same way it would react to a physical danger. So to help you cope with the physical demands you're about to ask your body to perform, your brain releases stress hormones like adrenaline and cortisol into the bloodstream. So this is what happens when you worry. And there are a lot of consequences that are associated with that. Okay? Many people who worry excessively are so anxious-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as, and this is where I think Jesus is, you know, this is where he's helping us by telling us not to do this. Because what happens when we do that, is that goes into your bloodstream, and then you do stupid stuff. Okay? All right. You overeat. All right. You start smoking. Who hasn't heard that drinking your worries, troubles away? Okay? All right. These are all things. These are the snowballs. Okay? And drugs. Okay? All right. So, he's brilliant, okay, he's helping us, okay, we got to pay attention to these little things. We may seem as trivial, why is Joe talking about worry, okay, it's such a trivial thing, okay, because it has deep consequences, what you do, you know. Whenever I lost my job, all that stuff, you know, that's what I was focusing, it made me realize where my focus was. Okay. So what is the big deal? It is not a constructive thinking process. It is a mental health problem. That's what some psychologists say. It takes a focus off one thing Christians should be focusing on, and that is what? Serving your God. Okay? So that's what I came to realize. That's why I'm living in a tiny shack right now I have 5 kids. 7 in our family. We live in a 670 square foot house. We have 2 rooms. Okay? Because I lost focus. Because my mind was in the wrong spot. Okay? And so, we're building a house now, but I'm building it from money that I have already, so I don't want to worry about money. Alright, so it may take 10 years. I've been cutting the timber frame out for several years now. It's a timber frame house, you know. I learned how to timber frame it in North Carolina. Went there for a week so that I could do it myself because I couldn't afford it. So that's one of the things I did. So I built this, and we're doing it little by little. Okay. So I don't want to just, you know, drop this on y'all and then think, okay, well, Well, how do I stop worrying? Okay. So I looked it up. I tried to figure out, okay, so how do people cope with worry, and how do they just get off that whole worry thing, okay? So the solution, one, focus on the present. A lot of the things I read is focus on the present. Perhaps one of the biggest differences between worriers and non-worriers is the ability to stay in the present and not get bogged down by things that have not yet happened, okay? So think about present things. Don't think about, you know, so far ahead that you start worrying. It's a snowball effect. You worry about one thing, and then it leads to another thing, and the next thing you're consumed by all the things that you have to do, that you're stuck there. Okay. Okay. So this used to say something else, but I put it in there because a lot of the stuff it wasn't religious. So pray is a big thing. Pray to God. Okay. He's waiting for you. He loves you. He'll be there for you, okay? Oh, man, this thing double clicks. So this is an interesting one because Jessica probably stepped out because she's really bad at this. Be more willing to take chances. While warriors have a hard time making decisions, they take a long time because they can become crippled by all the potential negative outcomes. Non-warriors are more willing to test out solutions to a problem, even if it had a bad outcome or a bad outcome as possible. Okay, so one of the things they say is designate some time to, you know, cut out a piece of time where I'm going to think about the stuff that's going to happen. Okay, all right. They say, I think I read somewhere else that people worry most from like 9 p.m. to like 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay, nothing good happens in that time usually. All right, so let's not do that. Okay. Think positive outcomes. And this kind of goes with all the stuff that we were showing you and what we're hearing from the world today, okay? Think positive outcomes in seamlessly bleak situations. Be positive, okay? Think positively. All right. So ultimately, we want to be on fire for God, okay? And if you're worrying all the time, that's probably not going to happen. Okay? So, be on fire for God. Okay? Don't worry about your retirement. Don't worry about getting your kids into a particular school. Okay? Don't worry about things not in your control. We do that all the time. Okay? Okay, so I'm going to go back to this verse because there's one thing that I highlighted and I kind of mentioned it. But at the end, and let's see if I can go back. And I probably should not. I should have just put it at the end there. And if you notice at the end of this one, you know, I did bold. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Okay? So to me, this is saying, look, just because you master this not worrying stuff, and don't just think this everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's going to be perfect, okay? I don't think that's the promise. I think it is, there's going to be troubles, okay? But it does you no good to worry about those things, okay? It does you no good to worry about those things. So the last thing, I'll end with a quote from Jesus. And can you click to the last slide so I don't have to click through it? Okay. I click through until the last one comes. Okay. All right. And I didn't say this. This wasn't me. And Jesus says that. Do not worry about your life. Okay? That's it. All right. So if y'all want to come up, if you want to respond to the Lord, He loves you very much. We'll do that as we stand and sing. John, where did you go?
Throw it up there. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue.